Kane. Kane!
Kane, look at me!
What are you doing?
Sammy, stay right where you are. I'm coming up!
There's nothing to talk about, Hazel. It's not your fault.
What are you doing?
I've watched you forever, Kane, but you've never really looked at anyone other than yourself. So watch me. Watch my heart break. Watch me jump. Watch me learn that after death, there's nothing. There's no more watching, there's no more following, no love. Oh, say goodbye to Hazel for me. And say it for yourself, too. None of us has much time.
Sammy, come down! I didn't jump, Sammy! A man stopped me before I jumped! Get up! I didn't jump.
You know, if you break my heart, I'll go. But I'll be back again. 'Cause I told you once before goodbye, but I came back again.
So hi and welcome to the Only Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Douglas.
And we're here and we're talking about movies and I'm wasting time because I don't know what I'm
doing. You're getting worse at this.
I promise I haven't
doing
drank
this all about
today.
5 years. And you're getting badder. More worser.
More worser.
Right. Podcast just started and it's like tailing off. And like we do this. And I'm like, shit. Fuck movies. Like, what? What's this happening? Alright. So this week I've been trying to play catch up with movies that I haven't seen last year. And in true Tom fashion, instead of watching domestic movies, by domestic I mean a British and American.
British is not domestic.
Scumbag.
British is not domestic.
Sure, fine.
That's why
American.
I say foreign language.
Not watching American movies, I decided to do what I always do when the Oscar results come out. Look at their list and go, I haven't seen any of these. And then watch one.
You know what's funny is I saw that list for the nominations for foreign language movie. And I've watched like almost all of them. I was like, wow. That's interesting.
Two we haven't seen.
Out of five. So
almost all of them.
Almost all of them.
Yeah, that's 60%. That's almost all of them.
You've seen one more than you haven't seen. That's... That seems like a poor...
60% is closer to 100 than it is to zero.
Yeah, I don't see
so
what his problem
correct.
Is.
Almost all of uh-huh. feels like 80%-ish.
You're shitty, man.
That might be why I stopped doing
and that's
that.
Probably
like,
why.
Anyways,
you
like,
are
like,
terrible.
Math just told him to stop.
Ones and zeros. Defeating you. So I asked these fools to watch A Great Beauty.
Quando sono arrivato a Roma, a 26 anni, sono precipitato abbastanza presto in quello che si potrebbe definire il
It's time for me to watch this movie.
Damien,
mm-hmm.
Tell us about this movie and what you think.
It's called The Great Beauty. It's about a old-ass man who is the king of high society. He didn't start out as a king, but he made his way to the top. And he deems whether parties are good or not. He's a writer. He writes for newspapers and he wrote a book. And the movie centers around him and his douchebaggy ways. He's a snob, but he recognizes that. He hangs out with snobs. He also recognizes that. And he also recognizes that he's miserable. So you'd think that this movie would have something to say about all those three things. It does not. The movie has nothing to say about much of anything. It is just, let's follow this dude as he, goes through his life, his newfound, I am now too old to give a shit about absolutely anything life. I'm going to be a dick to friends. I'm going to be a dick to people who aren't friends. I'm going to seduce every woman that I see, and I'm going to be super duper stereotypical as an Italian. That being said though, if you've listened to Thumb long enough, you know that this is one of those movies that you kind of just sit and watch. Like, there's a plot somewhere buried in 2.5 hours of jumping from thing to thing to thing. But don't even try it. Watching him act, watching him embody this character, I don't think I've seen him in anything else, but it feels like he was born to be this guy. And it is kind of depressing, at least to me, that so much of his mannerisms I want to emulate. When I am 65, I want to be this man. And that is not a good thing. It is definitely not a good thing. The movie, though, he doesn't have any foils. There's nothing about him that people point to and go, you know, this is the dark side to any. He's just the 65-year-old cool dude that just does cool shit and goes to parties and talks to people and just lives the high life. And then the movie just kind of ends. There is, of course, because these people are supposedly smart people and hang around in a smart circle, there's a lot of babble about, you know, highfalutin concepts and like stuff like that. And at some point it feels like the writer is trying too hard, trying to, you know, like dissect life as this or as that. But the movie on a whole, it's one of those movies that like I kind of like, and I can see nobody actually liking this. I can see many normal people just watching this movie and going, so let me get this straight. I'm supposed to sit here for 2.5 hours and read a different language.
I should
and
be reading
this. My reward for all of that is nothing. The movie just kind of ends. What's the great beauty? You find out at the end, but I could tell you now, I wouldn't change jack shit about the movie. But I still like it. And I know that makes me a bad person. I know it. Because I'm agreeing with the Academy. And I cannot have that.
You have 4 other movies to decide our best.
No, it's not the best. No, there's no way. But they're wrong. Who cares? But they did point me. I mean, I should say that I did this based off Douglas' recommendation. But I really didn't. I did because they put out the list. And I do what I always do.
Does that mean through the transitive property that you did it through my recommendation? Because I recommended it to Douglas?
Did you recommend it to the Academy? Because then no. Then no.
Well, to be fair,
mm-hmm.
I didn't watch that movie because of you.
Right.
That movie
was French.
Actually, it's Italian.
I know.
It's
a joke.
In case you don't know the difference between French and Italian.
Yeah. Oh, right.
2.5 hours.
But it could have been, at the end, they said thank you to France for some reason. But I had actually known about the movie before and wanted to watch it. I think it played at TIFF. And I saw the trailer and I was like,
here we go.
Yeah.
Nonsense.
But you got us the movie so that we could watch it. So.
Yeah, I mean, what was the last movie we talked about?
Last week?
Yeah.
When we spoke about...
I don't remember.
This is England.
Oh yeah, this is England.
Right, so it's like that.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
Yeah.
Hey guys, would you like to sit down and watch these guys like kind of live this weird life that is not like your life in any way, but kind of relatable, although really kind of not, and not much happens.
Okay. So
yeah, that's it.
Yeah, all right. So me and Andrew spoke about this a little while before, and I'm going to do something that we decided was going to be done. So Andrew, remember, queue up, because I'm not working twice when I could only work once. So queue up our top 10 conversation here, mm-hmm. and I will just say, this is what I think about The Great Beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, guys, you got that? No, I'm just kidding. So
that was the edit point.
I work idiots.
But on a serious level, actually, I watched it a second time today.
Change your mind. This movie sucks.
Actually, no, I didn't change my mind. But there, you know, the thing about watching a movie again is that there are certain things that you see that you didn't see before, and I really love how just beautiful this movie is. But of course, that's something that struck me the first time I saw it as well. The only thing I think that I kind of want to talk about, in addition to what I loved before, or, well, that kind of makes it sound like it's a good thing, but it's almost not such a great thing. There was a point, right? And this kind of goes to your point, saying that, and I agree with you, a lot of people probably won't like this movie. There was a point in the movie, I'm not sure how far in, probably like an hour and a half, where I was like, oh, okay, the movie's finished. And then it just kept going. And I said, oh yes, I remember, we have like a whole half hour to an hour left. And so I'm sure that, you know, people are not going to be very happy with that. And it kind of took me out of my sort of movie watching zone, and I had to kind of get back in there. I take a little time to get back in there, but you know, overall, this is a pretty good movie. As I say, it doesn't, you know, there's not much to it. There's a lot of pseudo intellectual commentary. There is it kind of is, as you said, following this guy who's realized, you know what, I'm old enough now where, why am I
about anything?
Exactly. Why am I just worried about other people? Why am I worrying about, you know, being nice and all that kind of thing? And it also, you know, follows him through what I imagine is at least a year. I'm just going to give it a year. Because, no, I'll tell you why. And it's not really a spoiler. The movie begins and it ends on two separate birthday parties for him. So it's at least 1 year long, right?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, a bunch of things happen, right? You know, he faces some loss. Other people face loss. I think what this movie highlights a lot of is kind of like, you could almost consider this movie like the Gangnam Style of Italian cinema, right? And let me tell you why.
I don't
like
this movie anymore.
Let me tell you why.
I'm retracting my last statement. I don't want to hear anything.
I'm very curious as what he thinks Gangnam Style is.
Because where this movie goes a lot is to kind of show up and highlight the pretensions of, you know, the, I don't necessarily want to say rich, though there are a lot of rich people or supposedly rich people in this thing. But yeah, so the upper crust,
yes,
right? Yes,
dirt bags,
exactly.
Rich, you know? Dirt bags,
and it just goes to show, like, you know, Gangnam Style is making fun of how, you know, they ride horses and they do all of this thing, and this movie kind of is making fun of, you know, how crazy people can get when you have maybe not unlimited, but not that limited resources, right? And, you know, you have crazy children who walk around houses naked, covered in what I hope is red paint and not actual blood. You have, you know, you have all sorts of kind of shenanigans that, while, you know, the movie doesn't necessarily play up their comedic factor, if you look at it as an aside, if you take a moment and step back, you kind of look at it and say, all right, this is a little bit ridiculous, right? You know, there was one point where there was some sort of doctor, some sort of, not quite a plastic surgeon, but in that sort of cosmetic field, where essentially he was just giving Botox shots to everybody. Mm-hmm. There was a huge room with hundreds of people just waiting in line for this guy that he just had a bunch of syringes filled with Botox, just
swiping, sticking
it, and it was a conveyor belt of you know, between people who wanted to get rid of their sweatiness to people who, you know, wanted to enhance their features, and so it really shows.
He changing glasses.
Yes, he did change glasses.
Absolutely.
But with all that said, and I actually view that last point as a positive. But with all that said, even with the somewhat negative of the length, I really love this. This is beautiful. The music is quite good. And one thing I want to... One piece of music that I really loved in this movie was actually the opening sequence. So, the last two things I'm going to say. I keep having more things to say because I guess I like this movie that much. One is that when we're introduced to Jep, that's the greatest scene ever. You know, when he just does his dancing thing and he turns around and you're in the party, it's great. But even before that, I really liked the opera song that they had when they were essentially introducing us. Yeah, they were introducing us to Rome. And, you know, you saw... Asian tourists running around and dying because it was so beautiful, and you know, you saw
pretty sure that's not right.
And you saw all sorts of other things, you know, you saw the scenery and for a little while you actually saw the singer as she was singing. It was really and the whole way through was great, and the first shot that you see is you're in front of a cannon and it goes off and you kind of pan off to the left and you see the, it's almost like you could feel that smoke behind the cannonball. It's, well, I don't know if it was a cannon, it was probably just a high powered gun, but whatever it was, this movie is beautiful. The Great Beauty is a pretty good name for it, I guess. But Andrew, what did you think?
Give me a moment while I go over here and get my brandy snifter and my smoking jacket, and I'll tell you guys a story. No, bad joke.
No,
bad
it's
joke.
Pretty good.
I'm actually kind of worried about talking about this movie because the thing about uh-oh. This uh-oh. Is that this is one of those movies where it's an indefinable thing as to why I like this movie, and. It's something where, like, as Douglas said, we sat down and watched it again today.
We're movie snobs.
Nothing is indefinable.
Nothing is indefinable. We're jerks. Like, we're movie jerks.
I agree.
And we like this movie because
every time we come to talk about one of these movies, you guys love to highlight the fact that you can't think of any quote-unquote regular person, right? who you feel you can watch this movie, and regardless of how true or false that
we're
fact
not
is,
wrong.
Regardless of the truth of that fact of that statement, I don't even consider that as a question as to whether this movie is good or bad, right? I'm just like the reason why I created this thing was I don't want to talk to regular people.
That might be the most racist thing you've said. Taken 5 years.
Demon
it's finally
is,
done
is,
it.
Is regular a race?
I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay, alright, cool. Just making sure.
Pretty sure.
Is this like the South
just
Park
like chicken,
game?
Right? Chicken, like the chickens are grown regular. Or they're grown spicy, like everybody does. Right? Barbecue chicken is a different race of chicken, like.
You see, except for a moment there, I was thinking I'll probably cut out all this and say, but that line is too good.
Nope.
Like, how do I not leave that in? Getting back to this movie, right? As I said, what I like about this movie is some stuff that I don't even know that I can quite explain as to what's really happening in this movie. And I think one reason why, and it came to me while I was watching it for a second and a half time this today. Is that while I understood from the first time I saw this movie the basic idea of the feeling of this movie, of this idea of this man who has decided he's not going to waste the rest of his life doing shit he doesn't want to do, which is actually a line of dialogue that he says,
I'm going to be a scumbag for the rest of my life.
And he becomes this more, almost more intellectualized individual who likes to dabble in ethical conversations as well as just general art conversations about life. I noticed a lot more clearly the parts of this movie that we would usually just call unreal for the sake of being unreal. But I started to wonder whether this movie was an actual thought. Like, it was, we were experiencing Jep's thought process throughout the film, as opposed to some more subjective point of view that some movies would take. And I started to see it in moments such as the keymaster, right, who is able to take them into all of these beautiful buildings, or very much so in moments like the funeral, where at the funeral scene, before we even go there, Damon, you're just in love with that scene anyway, aren't you? You love
it. I like
it. You love it.
I like
that.
That's
You see, you're having trouble with admitting how much you love this movie because you feel like you're conflicting with the Rambo Damien
that is not it. I am having problems trying to articulate why it is that I like this movie.
Right, and
but I don't want to. Like, there are words that movie critics use to describe these movies, but I refuse to use any of those words.
Because you don't want to be them.
Because I really don't. I really, really do not want to end up in the position where this guy is. Where even though you know that you're being a snob and you're being a dick about a lot of things, and you're looking down at things just for the sake of it, you can't stop yourself because it's already too late. I don't want that to happen. It is happening.
You're trying to stop yourself.
Exactly. And that is why I come on this podcast. So that I don't just sit down listening to film spotting, and then the next time I talk to a human person about movies, all it is just this train of film spotting and movie review nonsense that that person would never have heard. Right? And then they just look at me like, oh, you're one of them. I don't want it to happen.
Yeah.
I want to articulate in their language.
You start,
why
you
their
start
movies...
talking to them about blocking shots.
Right. The tracking shot in this one is so massive. There was a 26-minute non-stop shot in Hunger. And that is why they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? What is Hunger? And B, what are you talking about? Look, your movie sucks because I want to be able to, in their words, go, this is why your movie sucks. Or, this is why I agree that while your movie is dumb, I like it.
I like the idea that you've not figured out what I figured out a long time ago, which is the division of those conversations.
Don't talk to people. That is what your plan is, to never talk to people again.
It's kind of like, to me, it's the equivalent of someone telling me they speak Spanish and French. They switch between it dependent on the conversation.
The problem that I have, it's not like you live in a house with Douglas, so you have someone that you can have these conversations with at all times. I have zero people like that. None. When I go home, I go home to normal people.
To the regular people.
Right. And every time I've tried to con people that I love into watching these movies, at the end of the movie, they look at me like I've lost my goddamn mind. The only movie that I was worried that it might happen and it didn't happen was A Prophet. And that is why I know that movie is magic. All of the other movies that I went, yeah, you guys need to watch it. I said, all right, A Prophet is like Gomorrah. Guys, watch Gomorrah. And they looked, what the fuck are you doing? This movie sucks.
Jep was in Gomorrah, by the way.
I said, guys, watch A Separation. And they looked, at the end of that movie, I just felt like killing everybody in the house. I'm going to kill all of you. It happened with an education. It happens time and time again. I want to watch Inside Llewyn Davis. Guess who I'm going to watch that movie with? Nobody. That is who I'm going to watch that movie with. You guys don't have that, right?
I watched that movie with nobody this morning.
Yes, but at least if you wanted to, you could watch it with someone that could appreciate that the Coen brothers are awesome. No one in my house knows who the Coen brothers are. They made True Grit. Man, I said, yeah, I like True Grit. Have you seen A Serious Man? Didn't you make me watch that? Yeah. Was that the one with the gypsy woman?
But I know it sucks.
But here lies the thing, right? Regardless of that, doesn't change the fact that if you feel a certain way about a movie like this, which requires you to use, or you feel you need to use certain words that you're afraid of, it doesn't mean that you can't have the other version
at home. It really, really does. There's no walking back from that line. Right?
Andrew,
you can't
Damian
sip wine and then go, you know what? I want some Kool-Aid. There's no. There's a hard line.
Andrew, what Damian's saying is that it's too late. The film snobbery has already sunk right. in.
He's saying, I'm gone, is what he's saying. I'm lost.
Both of you are gone. Way, way gone. Right? But that is okay because you have each other. I have no one. And I'm never going to find anyone. Right? It's not like, oh, I might meet a girl that... Where? Where's that going to happen? Nowheresville? Yes, that is where it's going to happen. I'm fucked, guys. That's basically what I'm saying. I'm not going to stoop to snobbery level. Not with movies. Not. I find myself doing it with all sorts of shit and I have to stop myself. Right? Someone told me something about some piece of technology that they had. And inside my head, I was laughing at this fool. Why? He didn't know any better. It's not his fault that I'm a crazy person and know all this nonsense that no normal person would spend the time finding out. But I was busy laughing at this fool in my head. And I had to stop. I'm like, Damian, you realize the only people in the world that would find what is happening now funny is you. And scumbags on message boards. And I cannot live like that. Because I'm not going to talk
You're
to
you. You're not going back to the message
No.
boards.
I will not seek refuge in message board. AV forums can eat a dick. Said it. Fuck that site.
I don't know that site.
Don't do it.
So,
do you want to hit every piece of audiovisual technology you have in your house? Go to AV forums. No one likes anything there unless it is from heaven. It has to be like $1 zillion and coated in gold and sunshine and puppies.
I think I want to be their friend.
Don't want to. Don't do it. It's the worst.
So yeah, guys, to bring it back for a second, I really love this movie.
Yeah.
Damien kind of hit the note when he talked about the fact that he can't quite articulate what he really loves about this movie, because I'm very much this... the same way.
I'm going to die alone.
Because part of it is that I feel so... I admire so much Jep's life philosophy at the point in this movie. Mm-hmm. Where he's shifting from where he became, as Damian talked about, this guy who rules all of the land because he is the special one of Rome, to being someone who's like, I just want to enjoy life and not have that much bullshit in my life anymore. And there are moments of downright brilliance in this movie.
Would you like to see the pictures? Of course. Don't see those pictures.
What?
Did you talking about remember the
that
first
scene?
Scene.
The first
yeah.
scene.
All right.
But she's like, oh, I have pictures of myself. Would you like to see them? I was like, sure. And then I'm out.
Is it weird? I thought more of Congrats. The scene where he was looking at the exhibition of the guy's daily pictures. That was the first one that came to mind close to that. Yeah. But the thing about the movie is that parts of it feel almost like magic. And that's the thing with movies in general. Movies are, and I know people, this is a term that people keep, movie magic, right? Where people came up with this. But there are parts of movies where it's not just superheroes or things like that. It's actually someone deceiving you for entertaining reasons. And parts of this movie works perfectly like that, where we see things like the water lace ceiling,
mm-hmm.
or some of the flashbacks, or even the funeral, or I think my favorite is the most obvious is the giraffe. Where when you get to the giraffe, like, maybe it's because they preempted it with actually the word magic and talking about the fact that it's tricks and it's not real and stuff like that. But when it happens in the movie, even though you can logic out all of the physical mm-hmm. steps that they would have taken to make this into the film,
right.
right, you still see it as magic.
Right, and instead of being a moment in a movie that you don't understand or you're not with, where you go, this is the Rubicon, this is the point that the movie hit that I went, fuck this movie, it becomes even more entrancing to have the movie do this to you.
That is the point
completely.
Where you went, I'm not going to be a normal person. I'm going to be a film snob.
But then movies like Dogtooth come along and we just go, those film snobs, I'm not them.
Yeah, we're now the worst.
Alright,
fine. Oh, there's still worse. There's still a ways to go till we get there.
Right. Right. As I said, this podcast will end when we implode upon rewatching The Butcher Boy and think it's amazing.
Like these people, I can't believe 20 years ago I said that The Butcher Boy was terrible. Incredible masterpiece is what this is.
And then your head will just explode out of
the
moment.
Right, and then
the bomb that you set in there.
And then past Damon will travel through time to kill me.
Yeah. Well, how long have we been doing this? Maybe we should do like every 10 years. We do like a 10 year anniversary, a 10 year Butcher Boy anniversary episode. That would be fantastic.
Not yet. Yeah,
just check it in. Just check it in, guys. Guys like Butcher Boy. Douglas goes kind of. Damon goes, fuck that movie. We're like, alright, we're good.
We're good. See you in 10 years.
So yeah, The Great Beauty.
It's pretty good. Douglas likes it a lot. It would not make my top 10, but I like it.
I still have it in the same sense where, because of this weirdness to how I like it, I'm still okay with it not being in my list. But at the same time, it's close. You know, it's knocking on my 20.
I'm going to watch this movie again because, of course.
Last week gone by, I was asking, with me remembering the fact that the World Cup is on the way.
Sorry, what?
The World Cup, that sporting event that happens every 4 years, where people kick this round thing around a field for a month.
The Olympics?
Something like that with fewer sports. With only one sport.
The Winter Olympics. Hockey.
Are we talking about curling here?
So with the World Cup coming up, I decided to ask the internet a very unpopular question, it seems, about their favorite football-related movie. Because how much of the internet watches football, Damon?
No, remember, you're speaking to the American internet. That is the problem you're having.
And I got two responses from the McNeil brothers. Mr. Ryan McNeil responded with, and I should... I think
Shaolin Saka
responded with Zidane, a 21st century portrait, which is a movie I remember loving.
I remember, I remember you guys were like in awe of that movie.
They were like, yo, for 90 minutes, just watch school.
And he has like some narration over it. And I think there were a couple of moments where they kind of go somewhere else, but for the most part, you're in the game. And it was kind of, I always like that movie because it did something different. And because for someone who watches football all the while, the idea of following a singular player for 90 minutes just, it was good. It was interesting.
It's pretty good.
And he also said also the other final, which I actually have never heard of.
Making up movies.
But with the answer of the week goes to the McNeil brother, Shane McNeil, who asked me at that very moment, does Eurotrip count?
Why do these people?
Because when an ex-Wimbledon and Chelsea player sings a Man United song, not really a Man United song, in a supposed Man United pub, am I supposed to like it? No?
Nope. I remember watching
that movie. I love that movie.
So bad.
Love that movie.
Scotty doesn't know. I don't know why, but I've been making that joke, that reference a lot recently.
So great. So great.
They're terrible people.
By the way, they both lost because the correct answer to that question, as you know, myself and Damien, I believe, would agree, is Airborne.
Sure.
That is
Admissible?
Yeah, then yeah. Saul is there, right? I'm sure they played football at some point.
Exactly. Positive.
Yeah. With the week gone by, I've seen a good amount of articles going up about feminism in film, and mainly it was sparked by some discussions about Lena Dunham.
Fuck her.
And her work.
Why is it always her? Is there nobody else that makes? How about the lady that did Zero Doctor? How about someone with real talent? You know, Oscar winning. Alright, fine. Lena Dunham, let's go.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious.
What's happening now?
I'm curious to ask people at this point in time, like, what is your favorite film directed by a female, or directed by a woman? Because movies.
Airborne.
Yeah.
All right, I wanted to stop.
Because within all of this argument comes the idea of women in the world of movies and how they are portrayed, how much of a pie of the work they can actually get, and everyone always likes to point at the low number that they are in existence within the world of filmmaking as well as in the world of strong female characters. And at this point, I feel the only way we can help this argument in any sense is to start by letting people know those movies that women made that are actually fantastic, which proves anybody who thought the opposite
are sexist pigs that should be shot. What is the argument that we're having here?
It's a dumb argument.
Right,
it's the same dumb argument.
They represent 50% of the population. They should represent 50% of movies. It's very straightforward. It's not rocket science. The movie industry is sexist and racist, and it has been for a long ass time, and we all hope that within our lifetimes all those old sexist racist bastards will die and we won't have to have this argument.
No, because
our episode. Fair enough.
Whatever. So I want to answer your question.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have no answer, a real answer to your question. But hold on, the way I say your question is actually kind of sad.
ZD30.
Because I really don't pay attention to directors to the director of a movie. Hold on, unless it is that person has done something that left me with such a, you know, an impression that I've decided I now must know who this person is, like say a Lars or a Terry Gilliam, right? Now,
I didn't know that.
What?
You didn't know
that a female director did Mix Cut Up?
Yeah. Yes.
I knew that movie was incredible.
Kelly Reichardt. I actually had forgotten about her, but what I was going to say is that most of my favorite directors are males, which is interesting.
No, it's because it had to be.
All right, fine.
Because of the numbers.
Percentages, right?
The
only one I could remember, which is, before Damien mentioned Kelly Reichardt. And don't mention anymore so that I can change my answer. But the only one I could remember is actually the lady that, the lady, oh yeah.
She's one of my favorites, you know that.
Douglas, keep talking. She is my favorite. She is my favorite.
What are you going to say?
Damn,
but
at least I know. My answer.
At least I know I'm not sexist. I hate her. Holy shit.
I love her so much. Okay, so my answer is actually not going to be this, but at the time, right?
Two seconds ago.
All I could remember in my mind was the same person that you were talking about. Now, can I remember her name for the life of me? No, I think maybe it's Catherine something. I can't remember. But you know what I did remember? She used to be married to to James.
Catherine Bigelow?
Yeah, Catherine Bigelow.
Yes.
Near Dark girl.
Yeah.
Remember she did Near Dark?
Oh, I try not to remember that. I try to remember the fact that she made one of the most incredible movies of all time.
Yeah,
Hurt Locker.
Anyway,
ZD30.
That's sad that how I remember her is not really, you know, oh, her name is this. This is who she is. She's related to this man, not related, but you know what I mean. That is how I think of her, which is sad. That's not cool. But anyway. Most definitely Virgin Suicides by Soko. Come on. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Lost in Translation needs it,
though. No, not at all. Love Lost in Translation, but you know what it is, though? Virgin Suicides was my first. It was.
So you were a virgin.
I was a virgin, yes.
Saw that joke.
I was a SoCo virgin.
With an arrow pointed. Dumb joke incoming.
Right, so moving on. Damon, you said you had a new game for us.
ZD30 is the best. Right, she's the best. Stop talking about that talentless girl on our shitty show.
Since she's been gone, I want no one to talk to me. It's not the same, but I'm to blame, it's plain to see. So go away, leave me alone, don't bother me. I can't believe that she would leave me on my own.
We used to have the pitch game, but Douglas won, and we can't have it anymore.
Actually, recently I was thinking about bringing back Yahoo Questions, because of something I saw.
Funny.
Something I saw on Fallon the other day.
I've lost many hours to Yahoo Answers. I try not to bring it on the show because it is bad. So it's a simple game that we're going to play. I'm going to give you the names of three things, and you must decide which is which. So, for example, if I say 300, that is a movie. If I say 30 Rock, that is a TV show.
Okay.
If I say Skyrim, it is a video game.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you the name of three things.
Do we have predefined categories? Question.
You're right.
Does that therefore mean that there will always be a movie, TV show, video game?
No, I will tell you.
One of each.
Yeah, I will tell you if that is the case. And if it is not the case. So the first one up is movie, TV show, or video game.
Okay.
Right. Cool. So I'm not just going to give you the day and then have you dream of what it is. That would be ridiculous.
It is a venereal disease.
Yeah. Matches? What? Did you just say matches? That's not even... What are you talking about?
It's the name of a lady.
All right. So with... Need for Speed coming out.
So hold on. Is this a buzzing?
Exactly.
That's the next question I was going to ask.
You guys wanted to be that way.
How does this work? You're the one making the rules. You tell me.
I was just going to alternate between you two Morgans.
Yes, alternate. Let's go.
Although, once one person gets one wrong, there's no point in switching to the other person.
No, it's like penalty shootout.
It's only three, so. By process of elimination, you'll have known. So if I ask you the question, right, there's only three things.
Yeah.
So if you get one wrong, the next person...
You didn't plan this well.
No, I did.
All right, go on, start.
So the first one up is movie, TV show, or video game. Now, these are all... I'm going to start with Andrew. since Need for Speed came out recently, these are all things that have to do with cars. Alright, so the three things. First name, What's Up Doc? Second name, Wheeler Dealers. Third name, Grand Prix Legends. Which is a movie, which is a TV show, and which is a video game?
Repeat those names for me.
What's Up Doc?
I know these.
Wheeler Dealers. Grand Prix Legends.
I'm going to guess in the order, mm-hmm. Movie, TV show, video game.
You're incorrect, sir. Douglas, would you like to try?
Sure. So, what were the...
What's Up Doc?
Uh-huh.
Wheeler Dealers. Grand Prix Legends.
Okay. I'm just going to switch to...
Mm-hmm.
What's Up Doc is a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Wheeler Dealer is a video game and Grand Prix Legends is a TV show.
You are correct, sir.
Oh, so you have to get all three?
No.
Oh.
You don't have to.
Well, it sounds like you do because he got it wrong.
I got one of three.
And I got it right. But he got exactly he got one.
Yeah. You wanted to jump in, so I let you jump in. It's fine.
I like how we pretend this game.
Yeah, like this is going to have this has real points. Come on, guys. Alright. These are the names coming up are of studios. One makes movies, one makes TV shows. And one makes video games. Douglas, it is now your turn.
Okay.
Okay. Hanover House. Harmonious Claptrap. And Larian Studios.
Alright, can you spell Larian for me?
L-A-R-I-A-N.
Alright, we need to go back over those three.
Okay. Hanover House. Harmonious Claptrap. Larian Studios.
Alright. So, this is like just complete guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Hanover House,
mm-hmm.
Harmonious Claptrap, and
yep.
Larian Studios.
Yep.
Okay, I am going to guess. Hanover House does movies. Harmonious Claptrap.
Mm-hmm.
I think they do video games, and Larian does TV.
You are incorrect. Hanover House does the movies.
Yeah.
Harmonious Claptrap makes TV shows.
I almost said it to them. Oh my god.
And Larian Studios makes video games. Alright.
So we're 0-0.
0-0. You guys are terrible. Alright. Sticking with the car theme. I'm going to give you the names of three people this time.
Oh, shit.
You need to tell me
funny anymore.
Whether they are a star in the movie Need for Speed, an actual F1 driver, or a developer of Need for Speed, the video game.
Oh, no.
Three people will never know.
Oh, no.
It wouldn't be fun if you did.
So we have movie, we have video game, and we have
an actual Formula One driver. That raced last night at the opening of Formula One.
Can I get a moment?
You can get nothing. You can get.
As I step over here to my computer.
Okay. Esteban Gutierrez.
That sounds like a pro football player.
Craig Sullivan.
That sounds like a Simpsons character.
Ramon Rodriguez.
Now that sounds like someone from Adam's Family.
Mm-hmm.
Movie, F1, video game. That's mm-hmm. what we have, right?
Yep.
One more time with the names.
Esteban Gutierrez, Craig Sullivan, and Ramon Rodriguez.
Last one is F1. First one is Esteban and mm-hmm. Ramon. Ramon is the last one.
Yes, Ramon.
Esteban is the first one. Mm-hmm. And there was a regular
Craig
name.
Craig Sullivan.
Regular name is...
mm-hmm.
Regular name is Atto.
Mm-hmm.
First one, therefore, is video game.
You're incorrect on all three.
Wow.
Esteban Gutierrez is a Formula One race car driver. Craig Sullivan is a developer from Need for Speed, the video game. And Ramon Rodriguez is a star.
Ramon sounded more European than Esteban.
The terrific, terrific movie. Need for Speed. Douglas, I have a special one for you.
Oh, why, thank you.
Car, printer, or phone?
Well, one of those three you should know. The phone, right?
Of course.
Not necessarily.
Of course. Just like how you knew the actor, Craig Sullivan. Sure you did. Okay, let's play.
Wait, sorry. Phone, car. I have a question. Mm-hmm. What happens when we end 0-0?
Car...
We finish off with a fight to the death.
I'll laugh in your faces. Okay, car, printer.
Car, printer, phone.
Or phone.
Okay.
HP is a printer.
The Q-Bot C9. The CX-015A. The MP4-12C.
You asshole.
It's would you like me to repeat?
Phone and printer. Okay.
Yes,
repeat.
Car,
repeat.
Phone, printer. The Q-Bot C9.
Q-Bot.
The CX-015A. The MP4-12C.
Alright, so the MP4 is a car. The CX. Car, phone, printer, right?
Mm-hmm.
CX and change is a printer and the Q-Bot is a phone.
Douglas is correct. Finally.
I swore the Q-Bot was going to be the car.
No. I knew about the car.
Okay. Damn it.
The,
thought I picked a car that you wouldn't have known.
I had to though guess But I figured that the one with the more letters must be a printer.
That is why I put the MP4 in that swimsuit. But you knew that was a car. That sounds like a printer. That is a printer name if I ever heard one.
It threw me off for a little bit because I only know it as an MP4. When you said MP4 dash something else, I was like, am I right?
For bonus
here?
Points, what is the manufacturer of the MP4 in that swimsuit?
I cannot remember. I'm it? Sorry.
McLaren
it's
makes
a,
the yeah, MP4.
It's a big. It's a big name. I know
HP
that much.
Makes the CX015A, and Cubot makes the Cubot C9. It's called the Cubot Cubot. So dumb.
Douglas wins.
Nope. Andrew has one last chance to redeem himself. 5 questions, so that there wouldn't have been any weird tiebreaker nonsense. But you guys are so dumb.
Wait, no,
you got
but
nothing wrong.
So how would that then? Whoever gets first.
No, if everyone got their 2 right, I'd have 1. But
okay,
you guys could buzz in. But Douglas has 1, and to
no,
keep it fair, I don't care.
That's not,
these rules are
that's
civil.
Not how this works.
Andrew Robinson.
Andrew doesn't get that extra question
Andrew
because
Robinson,
he runs this podcast.
300 part 2. 302 came out recently. 302. Came
so
out recently.
298.
Whatever. So I want you to tell me if it is a, if this is a name of a real Spartan, a Spartan from the movie, or a Spartan from the game God of War.
No, no, that's me. Wait. Don't even ask a question.
Okay.
Oh jeez.
Lysandra, L-Y Sandra, Lycurgus Daxus. I will repeat. Lysandra.
Oh, that's one name.
No,
oh, that one
no
name.
That is 3 different names.
Oh.
Lysandra, one name. Lycurgus, 2. Daxos, 3.
Daxos, he's in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Which one is a real ass Spartan?
It's a Spartan movie video game.
Spartan movie video game.
What's the first name?
Lysandra. L-Y Sandra.
I'm going to guess movie Spartan video game.
So Lysandra is from a movie.
Mm-hmm. Mainly because I don't feel the movie people have the balls to give someone a name like
Daxos?
Like Daxos or like what's his name to
Lycurgus?
Pronounce.
Lycurgus?
Right. Lycurgus, I'm going to have to guess Spartan. Mm-hmm. And the other one, I guess, would be the game because that sounds like an enemy name like Draxos.
Lycurgus is a real ass Spartan. Daxos is a movie.
God damn it.
It's a person in the movie.
I knew that.
302. Rise of the Spartans.
Oh, did you know that?
And
Daxos is in the first movie.
Is he?
Maybe I knew it by thinking I know it, but just being stupid. But I would have given Daxos as a movie.
And
I remember a lot of characters.
And Lysandra is from straight out of God of War.
So yeah, I only told you I only played like an all of the first, of the third one.
I didn't expect it. God, look here, there's like Wheeler deals. Let's be serious. Like
that
none of
swims.
You. What's up, Doc? That's that.
I actually
don't
know
movie,
about that movie.
Which is the saddest thing ever.
It's an old. It's a very old movie.
Just so that you guys know, Harmonious Claptrap, they make Rick and Morty.
Yeah, it's, I guess from Harmon. Harmon. Dan Harmon.
Hanover House made the 50 Cent great movie 12.
Yeah, I know that company. Yeah.
Holy shit!
I have seen that movie.
What? You're a bad person. I don't even want to hear your excuses.
Is that, oh wait, sorry.
Russian Roulette?
No. I saw the first one, which was basically the his life story thing.
No, that is not.
That's not what we're talking
that's
about.
That's not what we're talking
okay,
about.
Something else. Sorry.
Talking about something far, far worse. Something so bad.
Annoying, key-eating fucking rat. And It brings up questions. You know, see, Bill, like, you're the new guy. Girlfriend. Why don't you stay in the bar that night I got your numbers? Social security numbers. Everybody's fucking numbers.
Is this something that you just want to go ahead and ask me? Because I'll give you the fucking answer, all right? Frank, look at me. Look at me. I'm not the fucking rat, okay? I'm not the fucking rat.
Start with you agree there is a rat.
You said there is one, all right? I base most of what I do on the idea that you're pretty fucking good.
So moving on into our top five. This week, with Damien catching up with the great beauty, he has asked us to talk about our top five favorite foreign films of 2013. So Damien, would you like to start?
Yep. I'm going to start with a giant middle finger to one Douglas Robinson with The Hunt.
Hey guys, like The Hunt's pretty good. Like, I like it a lot.
I know you do.
That movie's fantastic. Fan-fucking-tastic. Damien, I hate you.
Yep.
Guess what? No audibles from my editor. So, you're going to hear it soon.
Not giving a shit.
Not giving a shit. So, the thing about last year is that, unfortunately, a profit didn't come out last year. So, I can't
put
a profit
on the list. Although we should.
However,
we should try.
However, I have tried and I have succeeded to put a profit on my list.
Yes, you did.
Because The Past is my number five.
Of course.
Foreign film.
You're a scumbag.
Starring one unprofit. He's the prophet.
Yes, one prophet.
Yes.
So my list is technically not my top five. Because what I decided to do was, because I actually have a good amount of foreign films that I talked about in the best of year list that we talked about, I'm excluding all of those movies. Anything that came up in my top 20 of the year, I'm just not going to talk about. So to kick things off, I'm going to start with an audible, because Douglas just stole my number five. And I'm going to take a movie which I wasn't a big fan of for certain reasons, but at the same time there are a lot of good qualities to it, and I think it's a movie worth checking out if you haven't seen it as of yet, and it is The Broken Circle Breakdown. The film is the narrative is broken throughout it, and it is somewhat daunting to get through, but there is a lot of amazing acting and a lot of great music in this movie to enjoy.
Andrew, did you just say that in a list entitled My Top 5 Favorite Foreign Films, you put a movie that you didn't like? Is that what you just said? I don't know. Just want to make sure that's what's happening.
It's not actually his top five. He's a crazy person.
Okay.
So since someone called The Past already, I'm just going to say that now. The Past. See how long we can go. Nope, the other way.
Okay, hold on. So I need to stop this list for a moment, because I need to share something. So I just saw, I don't care what's on your list, right? I didn't look. But I just saw what is on Damien. So we all have our various technologies, right? That we read our lists off of. I always use my phone.
Right.
That I write my list in my Google Notepad, my Google Keep. Right? Andrew always uses his laptop. I'm not sure what app he uses, but whatever. And it's Damien, I know, tends to use Google Keep as well, but he has his tablet. I just, for no reason at all, paired over to Damien's laptop screen and realize that he's going a little bit mixed media here.
Yeah.
So he is using his tablet still. However, his list, how he created his list, is he wrote it down on a scrap of paper that looks like it was like torn to pieces.
That is exactly what.
And then he took his tablet
and
took a picture of it.
Of the list.
And he is now reading his top five from a picture of a list that he wrote on a piece of paper, which is hilarious. Oh my goodness.
It's the quickest way to get it done.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, I believe that. Right. So my next movie is actually, guess what, the movie that we spoke about today, The Great Beauty. I love that movie. And just to preempt the rest of my movies, I am doing essentially the polar opposite of what Andrew is doing. I already had a number of movies in my top five that were foreign films. They are all coming back now. So Grand Beauty was in my, or the Great Beauty was in my top 10.
Grand Beauty.
Guess what? It's in my top 5 because that's how this works.
My number 4 is a movie by the name of The Attack. It's an Israeli film about a high class, well, I shouldn't even say high class, a doctor who discovers one day that his wife apparently was involved in a suicide bombing in Tel Aviv. And he decides to, because this came out of nowhere for him, he had no clue as to what this caused and why she did this. And it's all about his journey in discovering her other life, where she was supposedly some form of a spy or whatnot, if you want to consider it that way, to find out what caused her to decide to go this route of becoming a suicide bomber.
Oh, so she was actually a bomber. Mm-hmm. She wasn't like an organizer. That sounds interesting.
It's available on Netflix, I believe.
Yeah.
What is this Netflix?
Steve.
Oh, hit the guy. So Steve's a jerk.
Him and his friend Max.
I like Max. The Act of Killing is...
Wow, Andrew. Wow.
Seriously.
It's not really. Now, guys, I want you to remind everybody that The Act of Killing is the best movie that came out last year.
It is. Right? It's... Oh, my goodness.
But I refuse to put it on number ones on my list because I don't want people to watch this movie.
I don't want to watch this movie.
I don't want people... I don't like people.
And this movie affirmed that.
And this movie, yeah. I don't want anybody to watch the movie based on anything that I have said and then step to me and go, Damien, I used to like people. I don't anymore. Because that is what is going to happen. This movie is very serious. And it is far and away the best thing that came out last year, but no one should. Don't watch this.
Everyone go watch it. It's awesome.
Don't do this. Don't do this thing to yourself.
Yeah.
That you can't undo.
Okay, so Andrew informed me of something today that I did not know about.
Mm-hmm.
When I did my top 10.
Marshmallows are delicious. What?
Yeah, I didn't know that at all.
I didn't know that at all.
But Andrew told me that a movie that I had seen before my top 10 list, before we did our top 10 podcast, actually technically came out in 2013, and I didn't know this. Of course, it is a foreign film. I like it. So it has to be French, right? Well, it is French.
Only makes sense, though.
Only makes sense. It is French. It's a French movie, and it goes by the name of Attila Marcel. Attila Marcel. This
Can
movie
you
is great.
Check that for me. That sounds,
it's a real movie.
Yeah,
that sounds fake.
Yeah, it's a movie about a somewhat, I don't even want to call it socially awkward because that's not quite it. But let's just say that this fella kind of lacks social skills. He doesn't really talk, and if you look in the, at least the synopsis I read before I watched a movie, was that he doesn't talk, but he speaks through the clothes that he wears. So he kind of talks through the suits, and he's always wearing a suit that he wears. So, you know, if it's extra bright, I guess he's happy. If it's dull, he's sad, whatever it is. I'm not sure if I quite caught that when I was watching the movie. But this is a great movie about... It's kind of... It reminds me of things like Amélie, which, of course, is yet another French movie that I adore and unfortunately couldn't get on this list because, for some reason, the date just didn't match up. But
Stupid reasons.
But this movie is great. It's you know, he's a piano player. He meets new people and gets pushed outside of his kind of like box that he's used to being in, and he grows because of it in a quirky way. And that's, you know, probably the basis of any French movie that I like. So, of course I'd like it. Andrew?
My number 3 is the Chilean film, the 2013 movie, No, starring Gael Garcia Bernal, about the ad campaign that helped overthrow a tyrant in Chile. I adore this movie. We talked about this movie on the podcast previously, and I love the way that they frame this movie in such a... Like, they're able to contextualize a time, not just through the usual tropes that people do in movies, but also in a way that kind of adds to any sort of sense that you have about movies, where it just adds that extra layer, which feels so... It feels so cool, is what it feels, and I adore it. I know you guys didn't like this movie, so I'll move on.
No, I like the movie. Damien didn't like the movie. Damien is just so vociferous about it that you think everybody else hates the movie.
I think he had enough hate.
Is vociferous the right word? I think I probably used it horrendously. But
we will find out later.
Wrongly.
We'll mock you.
Wrongly, yes. I used
we'll
it.
Mock you. We'll mock you.
I don't remember what my number three was. All right. Andrew forced us to watch Kung Fu Nonsense.
Why? Why is this on your list, Damien?
Because I did what the Weinsteins did.
In your mind?
No, not in my mind, in reality.
Oh, you actually did it?
I did it.
Oh, jeez. Will you share that version with
Absolutely
us?
Absolutely not. You don't deserve it. You already like the original, so you're already too late for you.
I'd like to see this first version.
Sure. Do you have space on your hard drive? Like 12 gigs?
Yes, but I don't have a way to put it on the hard drive.
Is that USB 3?
No.
It's going to take like 19 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just cut out all the talking. And just went with the Kung Fu. I like the Kung Fu. The movie drops to about 48 minutes.
Isn't that movie like 2 hours and 10
Yeah, it
long?
Is. I just scrub through till I see fighting. And then cut that. And I like it. I know that I should. Because it makes me a bad person.
I'm going to tell Wong Kar Wai on you.
Recently, Douglas looked down on me because I said I edited music. Douglas
yeah,
was
no.
very angry.
No,
because
that is
I refused to listen
that is
to,
not to be done.
Shitty music.
Not to be done.
I like the track, and I'm not going to have it ruined
by these people.
By these
this
people.
Is supposed
this
to
is. I don't care what you think. You are wrong. I am right.
So, are you looking
Damon,
forward? Are you looking forward to the future in which we actually get to watch the Topher Grace's 90-minute cut of all three Star Wars prequels as one movie?
You just said Star Wars, so you already know the answer. Yep. Douglas.
Is this my number two or number three?
Seven.
This is my number three.
Six. Four.
What was your number three?
Chicken.
Say it.
Okay. Well, anyway. So, if this is my number three, let me explain.
Good job editing this.
Right?
It should be number two, actually.
Yeah, that's what I thought, which is why I wasn't sure. Okay, cool.
You were going to say Attila Marcel, right?
Yeah.
Right, yeah, so number two.
Number two.
That's why I said just say the movie and then I tell you this three or two.
But no, I'm not going to tell. I don't want to tell you before the move.
Right, before
I do
his
my
patented build up.
Yes. Build up.
Mm-hmm. Everybody loves. Because it's always so good.
I don't like Damien anymore.
Finally, I've achieved it. I have no friends.
Yeah, so I'm not going to build this one up anymore. It's blue is the warmest color. Andrew, what's your number two?
I rate your build up.
So blue is the warmest color. Okay. My number two is a film which we can debate whether it qualifies or not, but I'm going to fuck go with it. And it is a movie which Douglas knows he hates, but he loves.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to make him hate eventually when he watches it again later this year. And this is R100. This is a very special
the
kind
Sony
of movie.
Camera?
This is a very special movie, which I can't wait to make Damien watch.
This
is a Japanese film about an individual...
Did this come out in 2013?
Yes. In Japan.
That
in
yes
Japan.
Sounds like a no, but okay.
In Japan. It's a film about a gentleman who decides one day to sign up for a dominatrix service.
Of course.
Why
wouldn't he?
where he doesn't know when or how or where the dominatrix will come out of, and he has to do, he has to follow whatever they do, and he can't do anything wrong. And it's all about that going on, as well as 5,000 other crazy things. That is not what I'm talking about. It is a fantastic movie by, I believe his name is Hitsoshi Matsumoto, the guy who also made the brilliance that is Symbol. And I adore this movie. It is, I believe, the best way I can describe it. It is cinematic lunacy at its best. I almost want to compare it to the FB, but in a different way. Like, it's not dumb. It is adding so much to the movie FB. Dumbness to it. It's amazing.
Is it my turn?
It's your turn.
We talked about this movie tonight. Fear of Beauty, number 2. I like it.
This should be number 1.
Sorry. Then Blue's the warmest color. Sorry, I got mixed up. So then, Kung Fu Nonsense shouldn't have been. All right, listen.
Say no, and I'll edit it. Right.
Right.
Say the two of them. Say number 2 is
number 2.
No. Number 3.
Number 3 is Kung Fu Nonsense.
Or number 2. Okay. Yeah.
Number 2 is a great beauty, which we talk about today, and number 1 is Blue is the Warmest Color, by far, by like a mile.
Of course,
no preamble necessary.
Number
watch
one.
It on Netflix. Number 1 is Blue is the Warmest Color.
Yep.
Number 1 is Blue is the Warmest Color.
Tell me when you finished. Number 1 for me is The Hunt. We spoke about it already today, thanks to Damien.
Yep.
It was my number 1 movie last year. It still is, even with all of the catch-up I've been doing. Love that movie.
My number 1 is a film that you guys were subjected to, that I made you guys watch. Damien seems to have come around to liking this movie in a certain way. Douglas, he still hasn't figured it out, or at least he doesn't want to talk about it anymore. And it is Wong Kar Wai's The Grandmaster.
Kung Fu Nonsense.
The non-Kung Fu is just as good as the Kung Fu does.
Let's just stop.
This movie is brilliant. And I adore it.
Let's calm down.
I love it, Damien.
Let's calm down. Thanks. There is 48 minutes of Kung Fu.
Therefore, there is an all in 20 minutes of awesome non-Kung Fu in that movie. Should I do like the internet and say asterisk Chinese cut?
What you should do is go, your movie is an hour and 20 minutes with no Kung Fu. And let's see which movie is better. Let's watch your movie first. And then after I wake up from, I guess, a 3-month slumber, because I'll turn into
we'll
a bear. Then we'll watch
Kung Fu cut.
Or while after I fall asleep during your cut, the start the Kung Fu cut and I'll wake up.
This is they're saying the Kung Fu cut is how we wake you up.
Right.
Like, generally, like, if you're asleep, we turn on the Kung Fu cut and we're like, you'll wake up.
It is. I shouldn't say this, but I guess it's already too late. Man from Nowhere, there's a track 13 on the official soundtrack. That is my tune to wake me up. It is not a pop tune. It is quite somber, as a matter of fact. But when I hear it, I wake up, because somewhere in my brain, I know Kung Fu is close by. And it jerks me from my sleep. And I am ashamed to admit that.
I'm sure happy you said it.
I'm a child. To die alone, a film jerk.
As soon as you close, the quicker you are to embrace this fact, the happier you will be.
Are you sure about that?
Didn't you see Jeff? He's happy.
They don't seem happy. Not the guys on the internet. Isn't he a bit like